Well, I want to welcome you for this time. As Terry mentioned, we've been looking forward to this for some time. A lot of planning has gone into what I think you're going to experience. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to take some time to review the whole leader development overview that we gave in the first National Leader Development Retreat as well. We've scaled it down some, but I hope you realize that we have probably 40 people here that have not been introduced to the leader development process, and so it's very important that we take the time to do that. Also, I find that even though we make the presentation and give you an idea of what we're thinking, a lot of times when I'm out interacting with people on the leader development process, I hear someone say something and my mind goes back to something that we presented. And I think, well, we're really not that clear on what we're about yet. And sometimes it takes three or four times to even go through the overview to get a real good handle on what we're doing. As I said, this is our second leader development retreat. We'll be having two a year, probably 3 days each. That could vary, but that is the plan right now. And it's the purpose of these retreats is to primarily introduce you to the subject matter for a national leader. So we do some presenting, we do some talking, we'll do some assessing, and all of that is designed to get you into the process. But the leader development process goes far deeper and much more in terms of breadth than what you'll be getting here. This is merely the window and the door into the leader development process. Another thing I'd like to say is that this process is a process. You don't come to a leader development retreat and get instant leader development and walk away and forget about the whole process. This is a long, long-term commitment, and there is a deep, deep resolve to make sure that we get this process into the work. This is the first time, to my knowledge, that the Navigators, as a whole national work, have decided that we are going to have a leader development process built into every part of the work. As far as staff is concerned, this process will go down to the person who has been on staff 4 years or longer. The staff training track that Bill Tell and Ron Holacek's actually leading it, that will take care of the intern staff and will also take care of the first 4 years of a person being on staff with us. And then once you've got 4 years of process with us and staff training, then you enter into the leader development process from that point on. Now, what we want to ask you to do is we want you to participate with us in the process. This is not a group of people who isolate themselves off in a corner and plan leader development for you. Now, we in many instances, isolate ourselves, and we do work on the leader development process, but this is something that we're looking at in terms of everybody being involved. We're looking at it in the sense that this is a dynamic process. For example, you're going to go through a Bible study, and as you look at that Bible study, you'll see right up in the corner, draft. And what we mean by that is that we're going to listen to you through the times in the Bible study. We're going to get your feedback. And then we're going to go back and rewrite the Bible study. Then we'll move it back out once more. We'll try again. And we'll see how that process works. We've already got some ideas about revising the Bible study even before we've even given it to you. And so we're looking at it and saying, well, 2 or 3 years from now, or perhaps 2, hopefully, we can have a real solid Bible study in leader development. The same is true with the assessment process that you're going to go through. Shirley has a lot of experience with the process, but we're going to be watching that, and we're going to be listening to you and see how you feel about the process. And then as we work with it, we'll adapt it and keep moving it until within a period, once again, of 2 or 3 years, we'll have something that, as a group of national leaders on this track, we feel pretty good about. Same will be true of what you're going to be seeing right at the end of this retreat. In our last session, we're going to be going over with you what we call the learning action plans. And that will be the work that you will do as a result of the assessment you receive, plus the mapping of your life process. And again, what we'll do is we'll just keep working with it, keep revising it, and keep developing until we're sure that we've got something that fits our context. And I can't tell you when you give us your feedback that we're all just sitting here as sponges just waiting to receive your input. I do want to tell you that the last retreat, I got up and rather boldly said that we really, really want your input. And then I got the assessment sheets, and I made the mistake of reading those assessment sheets the day after the retreat, the morning after the retreat. And I started reading those things, and I would go through, well, why did they say that? And I'd put that one down. Well, that doesn't seem fair. And, you know, I went through the whole thing, and I was so depressed after I went through that. And I was thinking to myself, I think, well, we worked so hard, and then look what happened. And it took me about 3 or 4 days to settle in and then remember, now, wait a minute. What we're talking about is learning. And what we're talking about is growing and improving the process. And finally, it settled in, and I was able to do some work, and Dave Legg and myself and a few others were able to sort it out and really learn. The same is true with our learning or with our assessment process. It's interesting, when we first started talking with Shirley Portner about this assessment process, I was really excited. And I thought, wow, I think we've got a whole, Shirley's got something that can really, really help us. And so we actually went through the assessment process, and then as we got to the day where we were going to go in and sit down with Shirley, I was in a meeting over at the Holiday Inn, and I recall sitting there about an hour before thinking to myself, let's see now, I wonder what she's going to say to me. And then I would kind of say to myself, well, Alan, now look, you're just here to learn, and that's what the process is about, so just relax and learn. Well, it took me a good 15 minutes after I sat down with Shirley to settle down and just begin to collect the data of what was there. And I thought, well, if I'm the one who's interested in learning, and it's difficult for me to really receive the kind of information I need to have, it's got to be difficult for all of us. But a few weeks later, probably 2 weeks later, I took those feedback sheets, went over them, and started to list the things in categories and really look carefully at it and to say, what is it that people are saying to me? And I didn't have that fear at that time. And finally, my heart was open, and I could pray and say, well, Lord, just show me. Show me where I need to grow. And as the Lord started to show me, I could see patterns, and I put it together, and finally I got it aligned, and I took it to Becky. And I said, you know, honey, I think this is what people are saying to me. And Becky looked at me and smiled and said, honey, I've been trying to tell you that for 30 years. So she thought it was a pretty accurate assessment. And so then I went to Terry, and he told me it was also an accurate assessment. So then I thought I could be consoled if I went to Dave Haas, but he told me it was an accurate assessment as well. So that's just something you want to keep in mind. It can be a little tense, but we're not here. This is confidential. It's your information. You do with it what you want in terms of sharing it. And it's up to you. You're the one who needs to be the learner. And so you apply it as you feel the Lord wants you to apply it. But I can tell you, this is a tremendous opportunity to grow. And it's been a long time in the Navigator work since we have sat down and as a group of peers and a group of reports and supervisors have looked at one another and said, hey, we think this is the way we see you. And so it's a process that that can be very, very helpful to us. Well, let me take you through the overview of our process, and then we'll move into the actual retreat. Well, we started out with a vision for this. Now, when we talk about a vision, we're not, with the vision for the leader development process, we're not trying to write this vision to inflame necessarily your hearts on this issue as much as those who are driving the project. Because in this case, we're looking to the first decade of the 21st century. And we're saying, okay, we're a generation of leaders. And it is very, very important that when we enter into that first decade of the 21st century, that we're all, so to speak, on the same page. And a big part of that is being able to recruit and develop a group of Christ-like leaders who will not only lead in the Navigators, but will lead in the body of Christ through the Navigator mission, vision, values, and strategic directions. And so as we look at you, as we move to the entity level, as we move to the staff level and the lay level, our objective is a generation of leaders who are growing, learning, and developing around our calling. And so no matter where I go in this process, one of the things I'm doing is I'm just observing, where are the leaders? Where are the leaders? Now, we're assuming every staff person is a leader. But what we're also looking for is leaders who can play roles and have a part in the Navigator work. And so one of the things we're just observing is, well, maybe this person could do another responsibility somewhere else in the work. And as we think about it, it's amazing the ideas that God has already given. For example, Dave Haas, co-laboring with me and in the leader development project, when we started, we had no idea, not any idea, that Dave would play the kind of role that he's played. But he has been one of the key movers and engineers of the whole process in terms of design and look of the project. Well, so what we did, once we clarified what we wanted, we had to go back and land on our strategic directions. And we just want to simply show you that the fifth strategic direction that we have in the Navigator work is leader development. One of the big questions was, are we developing leaders? That was in 1994. And then in 1995, as we put together our strategic directions, we said one of the components will be national leader development. And so what we did is we formed a working group in August of 95. So really, we're just over a year into the process. And this working group has a number of people on it. We're not going to list all of those people, but Dave Legg has played a very strong part in the process. Ron Holacek has been there. Tom Yakeley's been involved. We've even drawn on some of our elders in terms of asking them to give us input as we think our way through it. Daryl Sanders is beginning to help us and work with us. And then, of course, Shirley Portner came on board and a number of other people. And out of that, we formed a working group that started to shape the project. Now, the first thing we had to do was identify the purposes of the project. Now, this is very, very important, and you need to think with us as we move through this, because as this process unfolds, you need to understand what's behind and what we're doing and why we're involved in asking you to participate the way we are. Now, the first thing we're trying to do is develop and communicate a biblical framework of leadership and leadership development. So what we're trying to do is to make sure that we're rooted in the Scriptures and make sure that that we have a biblical framework to work from. Part of that is your Bible study. But we were also looking at what kind of a framework will allow us to look straight at spiritual leadership. For example, we're all talking about leadership. In our whole culture, everybody's talking about leadership. But the question is what kind of a framework would give us an understanding of spiritual leadership? And that was quite a job, and continues to be quite a job, just to come up with that one purpose. Now, a second purpose is then to identify and implement. Identify and implement a leadership identification and development process for national leaders, entity leaders, field staff, and lay leaders. Now, notice it's on four levels. Now, we right now are on the first track, and that's the national level. What we have done is we started out with a group of about 43 in our last leader development retreat. But what we discovered is that we just couldn't be that selective at a national level because of our culture, what we're about. And so we started to look at our entities, and we said, well, really, every entity thinks nationally. So every entity team is thinking about the whole nation with their ministry. And so in a very real sense, those people are national leaders. And so what we will do is we'll just simply invite all of the leadership teams in the Navigator work, whether it be functional or entity team, and you represent that. It's very interesting, by the way, just as a sidelight, that measures out to about 85 people. And we had a few people who could not be a part of this thing for other reasons, but we have 80 people here. And that is a really astounding figure for especially when we arrived at such a late date. In terms of determining that it would be all entity teams. And so that tells us that we're hopeful that we can really do a job of developing leaders, and it tells us that there's a need. Someone asked me, well, are people excited about coming? And I told them, I said, well, I wouldn't say that for Navigators. I'd never say that. We have two dynamics that go on in the Navigators. If you're not invited, you're deeply hurt. If you are invited, it's a terrible imposition. So I told him, someone said, well, how do you interpret 80 people showing up? And I said, well, I guess the way I read it is that they wonder if this thing might be successful, and if it is, they want to be a part of it. And I want to tell you that we have an incredible resolve to make sure this thing is successful. And we believe God is in this thing. So I think you're going to be a part of a thing that the Lord is going to honor. But we're working on a process on four different tracks. And we're just beginning to move here. And as I mentioned the last time, we want to keep in mind that as we move through the process, that beyond the national level, everything is a cooperative process. So we're not going to come to your entities and sit down and mandate what you do. We're going to make some pretty strong suggestions about what we think would be very, very helpful, especially in the area of assessment. But beyond that, we're going to be co-laboring with you and listening. And as I mentioned, there are four levels that we're moving toward. Then the next thing we had to do, once we defined our purposes, was define leadership. Not in the sense, again, of a highly motivating, living color definition, but what do we mean by spiritual leadership? And we said, well, what we're after is a transformational process. Now, again, the key word, two key words, transformation, and the other is process. Not event, but process. And then it's influencing people in the accomplishing of God's purposes. So what we're doing is we're looking at God's purposes, and the focus is to influence toward God's purposes through transformation and through process. Then, as I mentioned to you earlier, the key then became, once we had our definition, was to get a framework. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to ask, Dave Haas is the architect of this illustration. And I'm going to ask Dave to come up and talk about this castle illustration as you see it. And Dave, you're going to have to use this mic. Okay.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to explain this a little. I won't go through some of the information that we've talked about at the last retreat, but I would like to share this with you. Hagar's wife, where are you going? I'm holding a motivational meeting with my crew. Why do you need all those weapons? Well, that's how I motivate them. Now, you might think of navigator leadership in some form or another as being the guy who motivates you with those kind of weapons. We're not here to motivate you that way today. We do want to give you a few tools that you can use, hopefully, to explain leadership and help you to grow in your leadership. Now, if you were to take any secular organization or nonprofit organization, you could say that they started out with someone seeing a need and deciding that, well, I'm called to meet that need. And so they may see the need and go for it. It may be a vision. It may be a calling. But that's usually where organizations start. And then they begin thinking, now, what is it going to take? What kind of people do I need to bring around me to really accomplish what I'm seeing out there? And so he begins to bring in folks and form a team or people that would resource him in order to, or her, in order to accomplish that goal that he's called to, or she's called to. Well, along the way, he thinks, you know, I might need to learn some skills. And so he thinks, you know, I might need to attend this seminar, or I might need to gain in this and grow in that particular area. So there are certain skills that he needs to develop as well, and all focused on a contribution or meeting the objective of that he was called to. Most organizations can kind of generally be put in those broad categories. Well, for us, no illustration is perfect. It's only meant to show certain principles. But we we've taken just a little different slant on it, in that underneath, and this could be true for non-profit or certainly mission organizations, but underneath this calling, there needs to be a foundational element, if you will, that is character. Without the character base or the character foundation there, then most any organization is going to crack, no matter what it is. If there's not the integrity, eventually that the other part of the organization is built upon, it will crack and fail. We believe that beyond that, that for us as Navigator leaders, that there needs to be certain convictions that are based in really in God's character. Convictions on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You may have personal convictions that are added to that. On the promises of God. That's one of the things the Navigators have traditionally been very strong in. And so all of those things rest on the foundation, the rock bed foundation of God Himself. God's solid character, unmovable. Now, I'd like to give you a couple of definitions. This is the foundational components of leadership philosophy. That's our title. A philosophy is a list of general principles or laws of a field of knowledge. And a foundation, you know what a foundation does. It's the fundamental principle that things are built upon, in which something is founded. Whenever we were coming up with this illustration, it was meant to reflect God's character as the rock of our leadership development, as our leadership development process, our leadership development philosophy, if you will. It needs to be the unmovable things that are a part of developing leaders and a part of our lives. Now, some folks have said, well, why did you choose the castle? The castle, if leadership is founded and based upon God's unchangeable character, we believe that the leadership philosophy needed to be just as solid and rooted in that character. But the castle part is simply not the Navigator castle. It's the castle of the King. We serve the King. And the King, Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who is he has the seat, the citadel of the castle. And so whatever we do as leaders, the way we grow or the way we operate, we want to make certain that we're recognizing that it's God that's the King of this leadership castle. Now, leaders don't necessarily, in this particular illustration, you can find a lot of different elements, and you say, well, it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. But and we're certainly open to all of your feedback and would welcome it. In fact, I have to give you an aside just for a moment. Whenever Alan read the evaluations, he said, here, Dave, read the evaluations. So I read them, and I said, this is great. I mean, these guys gave us some really good input. He said, did you read the same things I read? So we really do welcome, and we're willing to change. I think anything is up for grabs and up for input on. But we just wanted you to know that we believe that godly leadership should live in the castle of the King. That's not where they work or train, or that's not where they have an impact or an effect on their culture. That is who we serve and who we honor. And we believe that all leadership needs to be that solid. Now, in contrast to that, and I'm just going to hit on this very briefly, is the leadership wheel. Notice it says the fundamental process of Navigator Leadership Development. That is our curriculum. That is our process. Now, any of these things, these will change. We want it to change. It needs to be dynamic. It needs to be active. It needs to be movable. Now, we certainly don't want the spokes or Christ the center to change. But the outer part where the tire meets the road, where you guys are and we together are learning and growing, is going to change. Your needs are different than your needs. Your assessment's going to be different than that person's assessment. And so we've taken some of these things that we've identified as being key and said, we want to emphasize these for this group of people for this time period. But we've already added another a section to this wheel illustration. It's in contrast to the solid rock of God's leadership process. Do you understand? Do I need to take questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
So what we were working on in terms of the process initially was to develop the... What we had to have was we had to have a framework. And as Dave has just described, what we did is we rooted that in five areas. We need to have faith convictions, we need to have character, and then there has to be a navigator calling. We're navigators. And so there's something about who we are that says that we have to be called to that. And then we have to develop collaborative or interpersonal skills, and then we have to develop competencies, task skills. And so once we had that framework in mind, then we started to move into the development of the delivery systems. And so far, as I said, we've only worked at one level, and that is the national level. We're just now beginning to think about the entity levels and how that's going to work in terms of the second tier of the leader development process, but we're also going to be looking at the whole picture right on down into the lay movement very, very quickly now that we have a lot of our processes in mind. But now stick very, very closely with me as we start to move through some things that are a little more complex, because now what we had to do was we had to figure out how do we deliver this to people in a way that will bring the curriculum, so to speak, home. And so the first thing, and this is where Shirley came in, I was in a Women of Influence meeting, and as I interacted with Shirley and observed her in terms of some of the things that she was saying, I thought, wow, we've got somebody here who really knows some things about leader development that can really help us, especially in the area of assessment. And so what we did is we said, okay, we've got to start out with a job-specific development process. In other words, we have to look at what you are doing, and we have to be able to assess that in some way. And so the first thing we had to do, as Dave mentioned, was to determine the content. Now, this is the content of a national leader. This is not the content for all navigators. This is just this track that we're on. And we believe, other than a few adjustments, that we're pretty close. For example, as Dave mentioned, we've added one. Shirley, you'll love this. We've added one here called life management. And we have to define that and bring it back. And the reason is because a lot of the feedback that we got in our NLT feedback was that, hey, we have a need in that area. And so we thought, well, there's something going on here that we've got to make a part of this whole development process. So in designing the delivery system, the first thing we had to do was to develop the content. And this is the content for the national leader track. Now, what we're going to do at least at what we're focusing on right now, is I've identified 23 functions in the U.S., 23 leadership functions. For example, you have CDM regional leaders and you have collegiate regional leaders. You have collegiate field staff, you have CDM field staff, you have B&P field staff, and then you have regional leaders. And so we're going to have to design the content for every one of those functions, some sort of a leader wheel. And so what we did is we did that on a national level. So we determined the content, and then the second thing we had to do was develop a means of assessment. And that's what you've all done. And that's what you're going to experience while you're here in terms of the follow-up feedback on that assessment. And we decided that we did not want a supervisor assessing a person without more input. And so we developed a 360 review process, or that's what we call it, meaning you have direct reports, you have peers and supervisors telling you how they see you. And then as a result of that assessment, then you move from there to developing a learning plan. And in our last session, we're going to go over with you the material. You already have it in your notebook on how to go about developing the learning plan. Now, the learning plan will not be built on just the assessment. It will also be built on the material that most of you have done through your career assessment process and through the mapping your life process. And so we're combining those into two things, an assessment of how you're doing in your present job plus a focus on your own person and your own career development. And we'll be talking to you a lot more about that. And then after we do that, then we're going to try to help you resource that so that you can actually begin to be resourced through coaches and mentors. But we wanted to go another step beyond this, especially at the national level. We may not do this at every level, but at the national level, we feel that we need to develop a community of leaders. We're pretty fragmented in the work. And we have a lot of different visions and different directions as to... we all pretty well agree on our mission in the sense that we reach, disciple, and equip, but we have little different nuances to what we think it ought to look like. And that's not bad. But what we do need to be is we need to be a community of leaders that really know one another and grow together, learn together. So what we're trying to create is a learning environment. Now, you hear a lot about a learning organization, and hopefully we will be a learning organization because we're disciples. But in this instance, what we're focusing on is us. And we're saying we need to change some of our thinking. There's been a historical pattern in our work that leaders somehow arrive. And what we want to do is we want to remove that obstacle and that barrier and create an environment where, no, we don't arrive, we never arrive, and we are in a continuous process of growing and developing. And so what we've decided to do is create a one-day retreat, two three-day retreats a year, and then we're going to develop cluster groups. And the retreat, obviously, is what we're doing here. And then the cluster groups will be after you develop your learning plan. What we intend to do is we intend to identify, as we work through the learning plans, people who have similar needs. For example, at our NMC meeting, I was talking with two people who were working on the same thing that I was working on. And I thought, what we need to do is there are probably two or three more people working on that same thing. And what we'll do is we'll get together and we'll find a place where we can meet and we'll find someone who can come in and help all of us, all five or six of us, really grow in that one area. Maybe for a weekend or whatever. And so what you have here is you have a process of a very individualized plan that's focused on you and a learning plan, and then you are resourced as an individual, and then you have another process that is designed to create a community of learners. Now, as I say, we will probably do this only at the national level. If an entity wants to do this second part and create communities of learning within their entity, that'll probably be up to them. This first part, we're going to be recommending that it will go all the way through the organization, right down to the person who has been in the work 4 years. Yes? Well, what we mean by resourcing the individual is that what materials might be available, what individuals might be able to help you, who might mentor you in that situation, and we want to be a resource to help you design a process that you can grow in. Now, as you've already done, in the assessment process, the individual is the learner. That's you and me. And then we have peers, leaders, and followers who rate us as well as we're rating ourselves. And then you get a report. And that's what Shirley's going to do after our Bible study. She's going to start the process by introducing it to the whole group. And you're going to get a report. And that's going to tell you how your peers and how your direct reports see you, and how your supervisor sees you. And then that'll be a basis for developing a learning plan. But then, as I say, you're given a report, and then after you're given a report, then you'll be meeting with Shirley personally. And as she talks with you, she'll give you more definition in terms of the feedback that you've received. Now, once you have done that, then you will begin to develop your learning plan. And that will probably be happening this month. And we're hoping that learning plan will be job specific. It will be measurable with a specific timetable tied to it. Then, in terms of resourcing, Nate, what we want to do is we want to focus on these aspects right here. There are a number of things that we can identify that would be available to help you and help you grow. And once we have done that, then of course the thing we're talking about, and that is developing the community and the national community. And once we have those moving, we'll have our national track in place, and then we'll, as we would see it, especially in terms of context, 2 Timothy 2:2, we're really talking about now investing and committing to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. And we'll have a learning process built in at the national level right across the board. And then we'll move to the entities and to the staff level and to the lay level. So that's pretty much the process. So maybe you have some questions. We've got a little bit of time, maybe 7 or 8 minutes. Rod? We're talking about both. And we really believe that God, one of the things we want to clarify in our leader development process is we believe that God calls people to the navigators, that it's a calling. Then within that calling, he calls you to a specific service. And now we would all define that a little differently, but at least we can land on calling and say we're committed to that for sure. And that's one of the things we want to really emphasize as well, and that is that there is a calling that is of the stuff navigators are made of. And we want to emphasize that. We really want to emphasize it and drive it home in terms of our leader development. Don?
Alan, on the vision, you mentioned
what we're probably saying more. I think we feel like that, God has, you take an example, would be commission, where God has given us a great opportunity to lead. We've got in our history a number of illustrations where we have helped the body. What we're defining it at, though, in terms of, or specifically defining it as a contribution in light of our mission, vision, values, and strategic direction. So we're clarifying that in the same way we have with our strategic directions. But we're saying that leaders can lead in the navigators, or they may lead in both, or they may lead in the body. Stacy's group would be an example of that, but it can be influence or directly in the body. But the key is we're clarifying on our mission, vision, values, and strategic directions, and we're saying it's got to be navigator. Any other question or additions or improvements or any critique that you want to make? Boy, man, if we did that well, you're either in a total fog or else we've done really well, okay?
You're taking the responsibility for initiating the match changes. As you talk about going now to the entity field staff, is that initiative going to be emanating from the national level, or is it going to be emanating being driven from the entity level?
Well, it'll be a team process. We're talking about the question of what happens in the entities, and we view it as an influencing role to the entities at a national level, but I will tell you that we're going to really strongly emphasize to every entity that we believe that the assessment process should be there. In other words, that you should define, especially for your regional leaders, what are those tasks and relational competencies that are required for that person to do their job well. And then once those are defined, then we have our faith convictions, our character and calling for that person, and then the task and relational competencies that go with that. And I think we believe that that is absolutely essential for any leader development. We've come with a very clear philosophy on that. Shirley's clearly influenced us in that area, but we've done a lot more research on this than just looking at what Shirley has brought to the table. We've looked at it, the broader picture in terms of leader development as a whole, and I've run past some very skillful people in leader development, and they've looked at our process, and they've unanimously so far looked at it and said that's indispensable for any leader development. Bill, you had a question, and we'll come to you, Rusty.
Actually, I had the same question.
Okay, Rusty. I think that's going to be the key to the whole success of the process, and we'll be describing that the last night, but the bite comes in the learning plan. Because what you will do is you will not only identify those areas that you need to be growing in, either strengths or weaknesses, but you will also be identifying specific plans and strategies involved in that development, and then your supervisor and a developer will sign off with you, and we intend to follow up on every one of these learning plans in terms of not checking up on you once, but checking up a number of times in terms of, I don't want to use the word checking up, that's wrong.
I am grappling for a word. What we want to do is we want to follow through in the sense of coming alongside of you to alert you not to go to sleep on those plans. I guess that's the most important component. And every person that we've talked to has said that that's the key to the whole process, that's the whole issue. If you don't do that, it won't work. And so we're working on recruiting a team, and we're expecting the supervisor to be on the phone and to be with you working on that, and the developer and the leader development team to make sure that we get it done. So it's going to be very specific. It's going to be focused. And we're going to try to do it in a way that you won't be overwhelmed. We're thinking of a year, probably two areas that you would be working on. So I've identified four, but there's a lot of overlap that I'll be showing you in the process. Okay, Fred?
Alan, as we begin to develop our focused learning clusters, is there a potential for bringing others from outside the organization who bring both resources and commonality?
In fact, what we're thinking right now, this is theory. We'll have to try it, learn, and grow. But I have a resource right now. I was talking with two people at the National Ministries Council meeting or retreat, and I realized that we're all working on the same thing. And I thought, well, I think I know two or three other people that are working on that, and I know a resource outside of the work who can really help us. So we'll bring that person in. We'll gather together in a place, and then hopefully that person will agree to mentor us.
Yeah,
through.
I'm not just talking about the mentors or the resources, but the peers from outside the organization as well.
I don't know. A lot of people have talked to me about that, and also people have talked to me about when they've looked at what we're doing. I've had a number, and I don't want to overstate what we're doing because I don't know. We'll just have to watch it unfold and see if it's as effective as we think it will be. And if it's not, we'll just start over and keep trying. And that's one of the things, by the way, this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but I just want to say to you, our commitment is we know we're going to fail. We know we're going to come to one of these retreats and it may not fly. Now, we're not going to walk out of here and be discouraged more than a week or two. And then after that, what we're going to do is just regroup and come right back. So if the learning plans don't work, we'll go have a burning ceremony, get rid of that, start over, and come back. Our commitment is that within 2 to 3 years, we will have a process that will be built into the fabric of our culture that makes us learners. How we do it really doesn't make any difference. And so if we do one thing that doesn't work, we'll try until we get something that does work. And hopefully, we'll learn something in this process that will help us throughout the whole work so that we can do ministry in a way that we can completely fail and come back, wipe it all out, start over, and do it again. But we develop a process where we believe in one another. We believe that God does want us to do our jobs well, and that we can constantly grow and learn. And we can, instead of creating an environment where we've arrived, what we do is we create an environment where we're constantly creating for one another and coming up with ideas and possibilities, but all within the context of a clear calling. So on the one hand, we want to be loose and creative, but on the other hand, we want to have a shared vision that is pure navigator, and we want to insist on it. So that's pretty much where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's just the limits of how much time you have. And so we're looking and saying, well, probably one cluster a year, even if you get there. So we're not going to be too rigid on how we apply it. We're not even saying that everybody will be in a cluster. What we're just saying is that we're going to have a dimension over here that we're working with. And remember, your assessment is confidential. And you tell us what you want to tell us from the assessment. But from the mapping your life information, that information is wide open information that we have. So we're, and the other thing is your supervisor, he may not know what your assessment, or she may not know what your assessment says, but they do know what they have assessed you in. So they're walking into that with a certain amount of information as far as what they know. So you should be able to dialogue whether, I mean, let's say that a person walks in and says, look, my assessment was so good that I just don't want to share it with anybody. And if that's the case, then you can look at it and say, well, okay, that's great. But we've got some other things we can work on. And so you're perfect in one area, but we've got some other things we can look at. So I think we can still work with it and create career development. Well, we need to break because we've got to move to the next meeting, and we certainly have lots and lots of questions that we can answer through the process.